This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You can always text us on an open line Thursday as well on the Junkies text line. That's brought to you by Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza is square because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. It's time to go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Neil Greenberg, Washington Post sports columnist. Neil, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you all?
We are doing well. Later in this segment, we're going to get your derby pick. So we're definitely going to do that. But we want to lead off with the Caps, who closed out Montreal in Game 5 last night.
Can I ask him a trivial question?
Sure.
Can I ask a trivial question? Do you? I feel like I need a soundtrack. They're trying to tell me no, get that Stanley. Do you know of any that we're not thinking of that they like to play or that would remind, you know, get us fired up about the Caps?
I think the Stanley Cup run is, I mean, if you're not going to get fired up by that, what's going to fire you up? I mean, this team is really good, and the trajectory is to have a deep playoff run. So, you know.
He means a score. Like, if you were, if it was a movie, like a soundtrack.
Yeah, like a musical accompaniment.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, on the show, so I mean, you weren't listening on the last segment. Like, I like, you know, when the Skins went, play the music, Cakes. We talk about golf, hit the Masters. You know what I mean? I need something.
Neil, I suggested Darude Sandstorm, which they play whenever the Caps go in the power play. I thought that was a decent suggestion.
Yeah, what about the Iron Maiden track they used to have?
I don't even remember that.
Mm. Yeah, didn't they used to have an Iron Maiden track for the goal song?
Well, I'll have Valdez check that out.
I would love that if that were the case.
I'll have Valdez check that out.
Years back.
All right, anyway, I digress. I was just wondering if you had thoughts on that. What were your overall thoughts as the series progressed? Did it become sort of obvious to you that the Caps were clearly the better team?
Yeah, my only concern going into the playoffs was that Montreal was just a young team, you know, for lack of a better term, playing with house money. You know, they were young, they were deep, they were fast. If pucks started to go their way, I mean, they could have easily made this more of a series. But there was really only one game where they were, you know, truly dominant, and Washington controlled it throughout the rest of the series. I think, though, this series was good because it showed all the different ways that that Washington can win a series. You know, they can win close games, they can blow you out, they can do comebacks. I think that's what ultimately makes this team really dangerous this year, is that they're very well coached and they have enough depth and blue line production to really make stuff happen.
Neil, you brought up well coached. And I liked Peter Laviolette when he was here, but they parted ways a few years ago, and he's since been let go by the Rangers. And Carberry's led the Capitals to their first playoff series win since winning the Stanley Cup back in 2018. Like, the Caps clearly made the right choice in parting with Laviolette and getting a guy in here who would actually play the young players and help develop them alongside the aging core led by Ovi. And you know, Tom Wilson's not that old, but he's been here for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been able to push the right buttons. He's shown, I think the biggest challenge that he had was when Ovechkin went down with the broken leg. He still kept things together, losing his best player. And I thought he did a great job of just keeping everything calm during the, not only the low points, but also during the goal chase. I mean, that easily could have spun out of control and just been a circus. But, you know, credit to Ovechkin, he didn't really let it get that way. He was never stuck on any number. You know, we weren't like, the countdown clock wasn't stuck at two or one for any length of time. But he's shown that he's able to put his players in a position to succeed, both young and old. I think he's done a really good job managing this roster. And, you know, he's shown that he is the right guy in the right spot at the right time. And you got to give credit to the front office for making that move. But so far, he's been great. I mean, I don't think you can talk enough about how good Carberry has been as a coach for this team.
Neil, can you give us a quick scout on the Caps' next opponent in the playoffs? The Carolina Hurricanes loom. Of course, the first two games will be here at Capital One, but what sort of challenge do the Caps face taking on Carolina next?
Carolina is probably the most progressive organization. I've known their general manager, Eric Tulsky, since he's a blogger in his mom's basement. You know, they will look for every single edge, both on and off the ice. And, you know, they got goal scorers of their own. I mean, you know, Jarvis, Aho, Roslick, you know, they have, 10 or so double-digit scorers during the regular season. They're deep down the middle. They're going to be tough. I mean, this is a really solid hockey team from top to bottom. And this is a big challenge. I mean, the goaltending is okay. But this is a deep team that has goal scorers of their own. This is going to be it's obviously going to be a tough challenge, but I think that Carolina is one of these teams that analytically is very sound, and they will find every edge they can to exploit. Washington's going to have their job cut out.
Are they a chippy team like Montreal? Were they like instigators when they want to try and rough you up and get your mind off of the actual game?
No, they're going to score. Yeah. They're just going to put pucks on the net from the high danger chances, and they're going to score, and they're going to do their best to get the matchups that they want when they're on home ice. And, you know, they got guys that can really make stuff happen. I think it's going to be – if there's going to be a series that's going to be a shootout, I think this is going to be it. I think, you know, the overs might get a little bit of a workout for this series.
So, Neil, you mentioned Carolina's GM, Eric Tulsky. How did this guy come to run an NHL team? I'm looking at his background. I mean, he's got a BA in chemistry and physics from Harvard. Then he completed his PhD in chemistry from Cal Berkeley.
Like, yeah, he's when Eric is obviously, he's a very smart guy. He's got patents in like biochemistry and all this other stuff. He's obviously a very, very bright individual. But what Eric was able to do, perhaps better than most people, was translate the analytical data into actionable items for the audience that he was talking to. So whether that was you know, readers or coaches or players or general managers or scouts. You know, he's not saying, well, your Corsi is 40% and when, you know, it's 5-on-5. He's matching up the tape. He was always good at that. He was always able to talk the language of his audience. And from what I understand, he's really good at bringing people together. He's not a me guy. He's not a guy that needs the spotlight. He's very happy with people growing into their role and doing what it is that they got to do best. So he's just really taken an unconventional route, but he's a very smart hockey. He's a smart mind, period. But very smart hockey mind, very, very sharp, but a very good communicator, and I think that's been the key to his success.
Getting Protas back is big, too, especially for this series.
Huge. Yeah. You know, we've talked about this for years. In hockey, in terms of, you know, the teams that are deepest down the middle usually have the greatest success. We saw that with the Kings, the Chicago, the Pittsburgh, you know, all throughout the year. So getting Protas back, 30-goal scorer, young kid, center is really, really big. And, you know, I also think that, you know, Dylan Strome is just playing out of his mind. I don't know if it's because he's on your show, but, you know, it's just he's been electric this series.
Yeah, maybe we gave him some good mojo last year.
I don't think it's a coincidence. I'm an analytics guy.
All right.
I bet you I can trace the numbers, the spike, directly to the Junkies.
I hope you're correct. We'll take credit.
Now, to be fair, he was on last season.
That's okay, but you know
this
what?
Season we've got Dowd on.
Dowd had a great year.
You got to build it up. It builds up in the system and then explodes.
But didn't Dowd kind of have his career year?
He did. And he signed an extension.
Yeah.
So I mean, the Junkies magic touch.
Hey, isn't it kind of, Neil? Isn't
everything
it kind
you
of,
guys touch turns to gold.
Isn't it kind of crazy, Neil, that this is the first series win since the Cup?
Yeah.
Seven years?
It's been tough. You know, I am shocked that they're this good at this point of the career arc of, you know, the core of Ovechkin, Wilson, Carlson. I mean, you know, this was supposed to be a year about the chase. But, you know, again, you got to give credit to Carberry that he's getting it done.
I think Cake, I don't know if Cake's already asked you this, sorry. But we were talking about the players. Like, I hated Josh Anderson for the Canadians. Didn't like him at all.
Right.
For obvious reasons. Give me one or two Carolina Hurricanes that I'm just going to dislike.
Yeah, some pests.
From the opening puck drop.
Probably like a guy like... I mean, Jordan Staal's still there. They have Eric Robinson who can throw some hits. You know, I think I really do think though the guy that's going to anger you the most is probably going to be like Seth Jarvis because he's going to score all the time.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're not built like thuggish. They're built young, speed and scoring ability. So I think that's really where you're going to tear your hair out.
Okay.
We're joined by Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. Now we're going to pivot over to the Kentucky Derby. The 151st running is this Saturday. Are you excited that journalism is the favorite, unless I'm looking at old odds here, at 3-1 out of the 8
hole? I haven't heard of any of these stories. How come I haven't? Have they been super hyped up? I feel like it's been on the down low.
I am excited about journalism being the favorite because I'm tossing the horse. I don't think that is Kentucky win. So it's fake news on the fake favorite.
Really?
Why?
Look at that. Why do you think you can't win?
I don't like the breeding. I mean, with the Kentucky Derby, you need a horse that's fast, but you also need a horse that inherits enough stamina from their pedigree to carry that speed, the 1.25 miles of the Kentucky Derby. I mean, this is the longest that the horses are going to travel in their career. And you can see as he added length, you know, you can see that there was a little bit of a back turn in terms of his being able to sustain that speed. I actually like the number 4 horse, Rodriguez. He was 12-1 on the morning line. I'd be happy with anything from 8 to 12 to 8 or 10 to 1. This is a Bob Baffert horse. Obviously, he knows what he's doing. Mike Smith is aboard. This horse has impeccable breeding. His sire is Authentic, a former Kentucky Derby winner. Into Mischief is his grandsire. A lot of stamina, a lot of versatility there. I think Rodriguez is a horse that's breaking from the inside with speed, but he's going to go to the front anyway, so I don't really think that it impacts him. So I like Rodriguez out of the 4 hole.
What about Burnham Square?
Yeah, I'm getting asked about this horse a lot.
Okay.
I think this horse is fine. You know, Ian Wilkes is having a good campaign in 2025. Brian Hernandez is aboard again. He won with this horse in the Bluegrass. I think this horse is fine. I don't know how much I would include him in my trifecta tickets. I would much prefer the Japanese import that's really been doing well. I think that the you know, the Luxor Cafe, if the Japanese horse, is a lot better suited for hitting the board, and then you probably get a little bit better price. There's a lot of inside speed in this horse, and I'm really not sure like how they're going to utilize that all. There's going to be a crush to the rail from the inside horses. I think that'll allow a horse like Luxor Cafe to kind of hang back and do his thing. Burnham Square, I think, is going to be kind of in the middle of the pack, and I just think there's going to be such a crush of horses trying to get to the front that he may just get bottled up and not have a lot of room to work.
How many horses are there right now?
20.
Okay.
By the way, the morning line favorite hasn't won since 2018.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah, this is going to be a good betting. I think this is a really good betting race. journalism especially getting a lot of the money. I'm fine tossing that horse in the first two spots. I have no interest in journalism, the horse. I have a lot of interest in journalism, the vocation.
yes, we're Neil, well aware.
Neil, BT Dubs, the Carolina Hurricanes were -150 to win the series. Ooh. Pretty significant favorite.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're a good team. I mean, it's hockey playoffs. I mean, anything can happen. You know, one game swing is going to change that. But Carolina is going to be well-rested. And, you know, again, you can't underestimate the edges that this team will get off the ice. I mean, from biometrics to, you know, sleep studies and all that other stuff, this is a very, very smart organization with very, very good players. You cannot take them lightly in this series.
Hey, Neil, before you go, can you give us a trifecta box for the Derby?
We don't do trifecta box. We talked about that before. But I like Rodriguez.
Okay.
I like... I like Luxor Cafe, and I also like Tiztastic to round it out.
All right, there you go. Do with that information what you will. Thanks, as always, Neil. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, love you guys.
Love you too, man. Neil Greenberg, at N. Greenberg on Twitter, Washington Post sports columnist. Don't forget, coming up at 8 o'clock, Frank Caliendo is going to join us on the phone. He'll be in D.C., May 20th and the 21st at the DC Improv. He'll join us at 8.